Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Mike Dubusky. Winds have already begun to pick up across the western coast of Florida, where Fort Myers Beach just recorded a 68-mile-per-hour gust. Hurricane Milton is currently a Category 3 storm, with winds topping 120 miles per hour. But ABC News chief meteorologist Ginger Z in Fort Myers says, in addition to wind, this storm's going to bring a lot of water, too.
Just in a couple of hours, we should see landfall, certainly before midnight. And I want to just set the scene of where I am here. We've obviously seen surge start to breach, and this is low tide. Right there, the dock covered at the hotel that we're staying at. Wind-wise, we've been in good shape, and that's why we're so far from the center. I mean, Milton passed at closest 120 miles from us, but it's now northwest and about 50 miles west-southwest of Sarasota.
Tornado warnings also currently in effect across much of the eastern part of the state. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water systems nationwide will have to get rid of their lead pipes. That's after President Biden's announcement yesterday in Milwaukee. Stuart J. Waddles was there.
Biden used his trip to Milwaukee to issue a new deadline for cities to replace those lead water pipes.
I'm announcing a new rule written into law from the Environmental Protection Agency that requires water systems across America replace lead pipe service in every single one in America within 10 years.
Milwaukee has the fifth highest concentration of lead pipes in the country. With the president in Milwaukee, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Milwaukee Brewers will be on TV next year, but they won't be on Bally Sports Network. Major League Baseball says it will produce and distribute all non-nationally televised games for the Brewers. Bally's owner is in bankruptcy. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home. Janesville police are trying to figure out how two men turned up unresponsive near the same gazebo in 3 days. The first discovery was Sunday, then it happened again yesterday. Both men died after rescuers tried to revive them. There are no signs of trauma or foul play. Authorities say they don't think there's a threat to public safety. People all over Wisconsin are turning up the pressure to hold the mayor of Wausau accountable for moving the city's only absentee ballot drop box last month. There was a protest at City Hall last night. The box is back, but critics say the public's trust is gone. Nick Ramos heads the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
The train already left the station at that point. Like, you already created this chilling effect amongst people where they don't even feel comfortable putting their ballot into the same box that maybe their tax bill or water bill might go into.
Ramos spoke with Civic Media's Chad Holmes. The Wisconsin Justice Department is looking into whether Mayor Doug Dinney broke the law. I'm Terry Bell. This is WMDX News.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers installing the game plan for their matchup Sunday against the Cardinals at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love has already thrown 5 interceptions this season, but says he knows he can do better.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, you just got to be smart with the ball. You know, you look at last week and we're down, we're trying to make plays. So you're trying to force the ball and things like that. But it just comes down to being smart with the ball, and I got to do a better job with that.
NBA Bucks head coach Doc Rivers says they may have dodged a bullet. New guard Gary Trent Jr., signed from the Raptors, did not need an MRI after suffering a hyperextended elbow against the Pistons. Rivers says he may even be able to play tomorrow night when the Bucks host the Lakers. College basketball, Greg Gard says he's been impressed this summer by sophomore guard John Blackwell, saying he kind of reminds him of former Badger Johnny Davis, who's now in the NBA.
Came back in June. I felt he knew he was the best player on the floor. He wanted to dominate. It's just a competitive mindset to be the best on the floor.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high up to the mid-70s. Staying warm on Friday, mostly sunny and a high in the low 80s, then cooler for the weekend, upper 60s Saturday, upper 50s Sunday. Currently, it's 66.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice, and for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome state archaeologist Amy Rosebro to the program as she explains history being brought up from the lakes in Madison. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. It's time. Let's go. Let's do this. It's a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host, Pete Schwabba. Riding shotgun tonight, as usual, is the lovable producer, Conrad. How you doing, Conrad?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm going to ask you this again, and I've asked you this several times. Do you prefer Conrad or Con or the K-Man or just the man?
You know, it's whatever you're feeling that day.
That's the beauty of your name. Okay.
And, it's not with a C, okay? So don't say it like it's like you just did. You just said it with a C.
No. That was a K, not a K. C is lazy. K is hard hitting, like George Carlin says. Conrad. So we're going to do this. We got a great show tonight. Very excited to welcome for the first time to the show tonight at 6:35, former Milwaukee police officer and now author and founder of copsandwriters.com. Patrick O'Donnell will join me. We'll talk about Patrick's books that he's written. He has a title character called Michael Collins in his books about police officers, which sound outstanding. He has a podcast. He's also a consultant on movies that deal with police officers and crimes. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. I'm very excited because, you know, as I've mentioned on the show before, I'm a big fan of cop shows and cop movies. I love it. So I'm very excited to have Patrick on the show tonight. And maybe he'll even share a little bit about his experiences as a police officer in MKE. So that's at 6:35. And then WGBW producer, new Wisco Weekend contributor, Amanda Nimmer joins the show at 7:35 tonight. And she had kind of an interesting topic to talk about, and it was movies that change your life or that stick with you, that kind of traumatize you almost and have very unforgettable scenes. We'll talk to Amanda about that. She might even share a few things going on around the Fox Valley or Northeast Wisconsin for kids, Halloween events, that kind of thing. She's a young mom. How many kids does Amanda have? She has like 9 kids, right?
She has 2.
2 kids. That's what I thought. I think it was 2 or 9. I couldn't remember. So that'll be fun to have Amanda on the show. She's produced the show before, but tonight she's a guest. So that'll be fun. And that leads us to tonight's question. Inspired by Amanda's talking point tonight. Name a movie or TV show, something scary that stayed with you and maybe even changed your life on some level. And I'll just go first. Mine is from the movie Candyman. Did you see Candyman?
I know what it is, but I've never seen it because it's a horror film.
Oh, that's right. I don't know why. I went to see that movie in the theaters in the early 90s. I know. My wife and I went, and it was at the Harlem and Irving Plaza in Chicago. We went. I don't know why we went. We probably went because I had this huge crush on Virginia Madsen, and she's the female lead in the movie. And so we went, and supposedly if you say Candyman 9 times in the mirror, or no, 6 times or something like that, if you look in the mirror and say Candyman several times in a row, whatever it is, the Candyman appears. So it's not like that's freaked me out my whole life, but I can tell you I'm never going to tempt fate and do that.
What happens if you just think it?
You have to say it, I think. Okay. I think those are the rules.
So have you gone to a mirror and thought it?
I've gone to a mirror and say, I'm not going to think it, even though I thought it, and I'm certainly not going to say it because I feel like God has a sense of humor and might put a Candyman behind me just for kicks. So I'm not ever going to do that. No, that freaked me out. I was like, why would I ever do that? Because typically when you're standing there, you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's Virginia Madsen. Tony Todd played the Candyman. He's a good actor. He kind of had that. He has a really intimidating, he has a very otherworldly look to him. Kind of a, you know, he plays a good tough guy, but he also plays a good kind of otherworldly character too. He has a great look. And he played the Candyman. So I don't even remember. I couldn't tell you how the movie ended. I don't think it was very good, but that did affect me. And another movie called Event Horizon affected me. And it was with Sam Neill. And it was, I think it dealt with astronauts that were on the edge of the Milky Way or something. And an event horizon is like when you see the next world or, let's Google that, Con. I got to figure that out because I used to know what that was. And now talking about it and I don't know what it means. But it is a movie and it was very scary because like chaos set in and they were pulling their own eyes out and it was just this weird chaos. Lawrence Fishburne is in it. Yeah, Sam Neill, there it is. And that movie stayed with me too. Yes, it's the boundary around a black hole beyond which no light or other radiation can escape. So basically in this movie they were getting sucked into a black hole. Now, that's very unlikely to happen to me because I have no intentions of traveling into space. That doesn't mean the Earth couldn't get gobbled up, though. It was a very, the effects were just weird, and it was like this chaos. Everybody was losing their minds. But I would have to say Candyman because it got to me enough to the point where I thought, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to say Candyman 3 times and look in a mirror. I just don't want God to play a joke on me. And I know he or she would. What's yours?
Oh, I mean,
I know you don't watch those movies, but you must have seen something accidentally.
You know, when I was younger, I was at a birthday party. I forgot whose it was. It was so long ago, but for some reason we all watched the movie Final Destination. I think it was like the 4th one.
Yeah.
And Final Destination is just pretty much like people with in traumatic deaths, like the whole movie. It's crazy.
Is it like Faces of Death?
Pretty much.
Like when they showed, oh, that's...
So one part of the movie, they go through a car wash and they forget to roll the sunroof up. So one of the, like, I forget what the things in the car wash, you know. The
oh,
things,
yeah. The brushes or whatever.
It went inside of it. It, like, spun them around and like,
this is real?
No, it's not. Oh. It's not inspired by real events.
Oh, okay.
It's just, yeah. So I was scared to go in a car wash for a while.
That does not sound funny at all. I'm not going to lie.
You see, you know, Amanda brought up a point yesterday with Final Destination. She will talk about it later. So
okay,
Amanda and I will talk about Final Destination. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about.
I probably am not going to see that because sounds absolutely terrible. Is there a plot or is it just vignettes of people getting killed?
I mean, there's kind of a plot. It just is. I don't know how they made, I think there's 7 movies of it. I don't know how they went up that far.
A lot of different ways to die. all right. So that's our, you know, let's do a 2-parter actually, because our first guest, Patrick O'Donnell, who will be here at 6:35, comes from the world of law enforcement. I love cop shows. I love cop movies. So let's do a 2-parter. You can name a movie scene that stayed with you or traumatized you so that it just freaked you out so you don't want to think about it. You don't want to see that movie anymore. For me, it's Candyman. Or your favorite cop show. I love cop shows. I've watched almost all the Law and Orders. I love the show Bosch. It's got a noirish quality to it. It's beautifully shot, wonderfully written, and the characters are great. So there you go. My movie is Candyman. My cop show is Bosch. This is maybe the first time this has ever been done in radio, Conrad. We're breaking new ground here tonight. So we're turning the genre on its ear. So yeah, good show. Fun guest. Great question. Chime in like you guys always do. It's great when you play a part. This is the anniversary, by the way, of the Joan Rivers, The Late Show on Fox, on the Fox network. Joan Rivers in 1986. I want to say she was the first female talk show host, late night talker. And she's an acquired taste. She's kind of like the anti-Johnny Carson. Like Johnny was very, very mellow. Who's just talking? Oh, it was Paul Mercurio was just talking about how Johnny could be whatever he needed to be for the guest to get a good interview. If he had to do more heavy lifting, he would do that. If he needed to sit back and just kind of let the guest go crazy like Don Rickles or Rodney Dangerfield or Joan Rivers, he would do that. And Joan Rivers is a talk show host. I can't remember how many seasons it lasted, but she definitely had her fans. And that was on the Fox network that dropped tonight, today in 1986, which is kind of cool. Here's a weird thing I saw. You know, we're so addicted to our phones and just everything, social media and electronics and everything is tech. In 1976 today, Alexander Graham Bell and Thomas Watson made their longest telephone call to date. It was a distance of 2 miles.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Talk about 4G.
Yeah, no kidding. And they probably thought the world was going to hell then. Oh, you're on that phone calling your friend down the road 2 miles. What about me? I'm right here. That is insane. And I also saw that iPhone users, this is Todd Michael shared this stat, iPhone users admit that they look down on Android users. 22% admit they think less of someone if they see a green text bubble come through. And 23% claim they'd never date an Android user. What is the matter with people? I mean, that's like someone thinking they're cooler because they have a better pickup truck than their neighbor. I mean, talk about priorities being completely out of whack. Here are a few more quick stats on America's iPhone Android divide. Most people with Androids are aware iPhone fans are judging them for it. 52% say they've been teased or made fun of by an iPhone user. That's nuts. 21% of iPhone users admit they've excluded someone from a group chat because the person had an Android. 42% of iPhone users have used a separate third-party messaging program like WhatsApp to accommodate their pathetic Android-using friends. 30% of Android users have thought about getting an iPhone just to stop the peer pressure. You ever used Android before?
I've had Androids, yeah.
Me too. They're cheaper.
Yeah, I will say that I like my iPhone better because it doesn't, I don't know, my Android did not, at the end of it, it was just so slow, it was laggy, So I've never had that problem with iPhones.
I like the iPhone better. Everything I own is Mac. They sucked me in like 1989.
I will say, though, I don't judge anyone if they have an Android.
That's because
totally fine.
That's because you've walked a mile in their shoe. You've walked yes, a mile phone very, to ear.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. What are we going to do? We got good clips.
We got some good
ones. Got a lot of stuff to get through. We got a lot of information to lay on you guys tonight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. I'm Peach Wabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Happy birthday to the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. 20 years ago, Overture opened to the public in part thanks to a $205 million donation from Jerry Fauci, a local philanthropist. It's still the single largest support for the arts in American history. Chief Artistic Experience Officer Tim Sowers has been there for almost all of it, including its growth to 7 state-of-the-art performance spaces.
fun. I've been here 16 of the 20, and it's been really fun watching the organization and the center grow and, you know, getting top-notch talent every year. And it really brings artists from around the world to Madison and then all the local artists that we support.
Reinvesting in the infrastructure of the Overture is next with the capital campaign about to get underway. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Looking at it, the road rushing under my wheel.
Looking back at the years going by like so many summer fields. That's Jackson Brown, who turned 74 today, I believe. One of my all-time favorite songs. I didn't know if I should use that or the song from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Somebody's Baby. That's a great tune as well. But checking the text line, Conrad's mom, Paula, checks in and says, I saw Cujo now. Now I'm skittish around St. Bernards, even though I know they are generally good dogs. That's a great answer.
My mom tells me about that a lot.
Cujo?
I've definitely heard that many times before.
That's a great line. We were just talking about Chevy Chase. There's a great line in Fletch where he peeks his head into a house and he goes, Cujo?
was that Caddyshack? No.
No, that was I'm 99.9% sure it was Fletch.
Okay.
Cujo? From the 715, Rosemary says, Creature of the Black Lagoon still cannot sleep with foot hanging outside the covers. Rosemary, I am the same way. Isn't that weird? I don't like my feet outside, even in the summer. Or I either have to go whole body out or nothing. I can't just let my feet hang out. That's so weird that you said that, Rosemary. And I'm totally with you on that. Great answer. And then Todd Michael says, Salem's Lot, the original, watched it Sunday night. Creep me the bleep out, as always. I have to watch that. I have not seen... Or at least I haven't seen it all the way through. I have to check that out. Steve says, no country for old men. Seen it once, and that was enough. All right. This is interesting, Steve. That's actually one of my all-time favorite films. And I don't know if your dad meant if this was like a cop movie, because Tommy Lee Jones plays a sheriff who's great, or just that it was creepy because it was incredibly creepy. Anton Chigurh is one of the best characters in movie history, played by Javier Bardem. And he is really creepy. And that show, or that movie, stayed with me as well. But I'm so jaded now, I can sit through the worst parts of it. When he's putting that cattle compressor to people's heads, he uses it to unlock doors and shoot the lock off the door so he can get in. But he kills a couple people with it too. And it's creepy. But it's just such a great movie. Josh Brolin is great. Tommy Lee Jones is great. Anton Chigurh. Really good movie, but also a great tech, Steve. All right, we have a kind of a contest we're doing. Hello, older woman outside waving at us. Should we refer them to Sagellato?
Yeah, I think so.
they might be going in for some Sagellato. We have a contest. If you're in the Marinette area or the 715 area and you're interested in a really fun time, we have, we're going to give, is it two tickets, Conrad?
Yep.
It's called Brews and Blues. No, help me.
Blues, Brews.
Blues, Brews.
And Barbecue.
And Barbecue. The name is not really on the ticket.
Yeah. It's Blues, Brews, and Barbecue.
All right, I got to write this down. Blues, Brews,
and Barbecue.
And Barbecue. And those are, boy, those three things check a lot of boxes. Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. This is at the Marinette Community Rec Center. It's taking place November 2nd. So just a couple weeks away, a little over 2 weeks away, from 5 to 10 p.m. They do great stuff there. Sean Katzbach is the marketing director there. If you're in that area, I would highly recommend you check it out. The music is going to be Joe Moss and the Joe Moss Band and Taranzo Cannon. I don't know Taranzo. I know there's a Joe Moss in Marinette. I don't know if it's the same guy or if he is, or if that's an out-of-town act. But November 2nd, a great time at the Marinette Community Rec Center where they have pickleball. Emerson will be very excited. Emerson will be there soon, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I forgot to sign up. Darn the luck.
yeah, I forgot.
I would go watch him, though. I have to have him remind me because I'll go check it out and say hello and maybe get some interviews. November 2, 5 to 10 p.m., check it out. Blues, Brews, and Barbecues at the Marinette Community Rec Center. It's just about a 45-minute drive from here. We are giving two tickets away. If you are the first person to text in and put the word blues in the text, the tickets are yours, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're interested or if you're in the Marinette area, and it's a good value. These tickets are $17.50 a pop. So that's pretty good. That's a savings of $35, Conrad. You see, I
quick
just did
math.
That. I know.
Oh,
I just did
okay.
It in my head. So let us know. If you text in the word blues, and the first person that does so gets two free tickets to the Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. What's your favorite out of those three?
I would have to go with Brews.
I have to go... You know what? I'll say barbecue, or I'll say blues, just because I don't hear a lot of blues in Northeast Wisconsin, and I love blues. Then barbecues, then brews. Really, you can't go wrong with any of them, though.
You know, I love blues too, so I'd go brews and then blues.
Okay.
And then wash, and then you know you need the snack in you too, so
absolutely.
Barbecue.
Your tummy gets a little grumbly.
Yeah.
Go get some barbecue, and the blues sound better with some brews, at least in my experience. from the 608. Artex, never ending story. Nope. I don't remember that. Was there a traumatic scene in the never ending story?
I've never seen it.
I've seen parts of it, but it seemed like it went on forever. Get it? And the 608 also says The Wire. Yes. You know, I said Bosch, and I'll stick to that with my answer, but The Wire is, I think, considered maybe the best cop show ever. Actually, The Wire, a lot of critics will argue it's the best show ever. And I've watched that through all the way twice. And I've watched Bosch a couple times too. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I'll say blues, but don't live up there. I play blues and jazz. All right, Sherry, if you want a road trip, Sherry, these tickets are yours because you did say blues, but I don't think you're, interested in a road trip. Sherry's probably our most musical listener most nights. All right, I've yacked away here. We've got, do we have time for a Tony Shalhoub clip? It's Tony Shalhoub's birthday.
No, no, we do.
All right, speaking of, investigator shows, Monk, Tony Shalhoub is one of Northeast Wisconsin's own. We'll find a place to play his clip a little later in the show. We have a great clip of his from Quick Change. Did we play that last week when we were talking about Quick Change? I thought we played the other two.
We played
Did
it.
We play Tony? Okay.
But it's so funny.
Very funny. He's great in the movies. Absolutely scene stealing. Sherry says sorry. Sherry, no reason for apologies. We'll do what we can to get rid of these tickets. All right. In just a few minutes, folks, after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, Patrick O'Donnell will be here. And we're going to talk about some of the books he's written, some of his time with the Milwaukee Police Department, his blog, his podcast. He does it all. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come back to the place you are. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn. Without a noise.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
C-103.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde is claiming FEMA is running out of money, but the Federal Emergency Agency says it's not true. Hovde goes on to claim in a social media post that money for Hurricane Helene relief is being diverted to illegal immigrants. FEMA says that's not the case either and is asking people to stop sharing the video. Young adults are registered to vote like never before. Vote.org reports signing up a record 800,000 new voters under the age of 35. Registration is especially high in states with abortion restrictions, like Wisconsin.
In spite of all that kind of dysfunction, they're being compelled to vote by a lot of issues they've also grown up around. This is the generation that grew up with mass shootings in schools.
John Marcus reports on higher education for the Heschinger Report. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. Democratic running mate Tim Walz's wife Gwen campaigns in South Central Wisconsin today. She has stops scheduled in Madison and Beloit. Meanwhile, Senator Bernie Sanders will stump for Kamala Harris in Baraboo on Saturday. First Lady Jill Biden campaigns for Harris in Madison on Monday. All of the Democratic surrogates are expected to talk about reproductive rights, the economy, and preserving democracy. Election Day is less than a month away. Four stores are going into the end of Hilldale Shopping Center, where the AMC Theater used to be. Eyewear store Warby Parker is moving to Hilldale from State Street. Also coming to Hilldale are beauty retailer Sephora, a salad and grain bowl restaurant called Sweet Green, and the menswear store Jackson Gray. Hilldale says in a statement that Warby Parker will open there later this year, and the other three stores are expected to open sometime next year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell for Savannah Tome Olson, and this is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're sort of in the dumps about recent Star Wars shows not lasting so long, don't feel sorry for the franchise. The brand is as profitable as ever. The Hollywood Reporter says the studio made $1 billion from merchandising in 2023 alone. In a stroke of genius, Star Wars creator George Lucas negotiated for the rights to merchandise. The studios thought he was crazy and agreed. Lucas sold the rights back to Disney a few years ago for $4 billion. It's just that simple. All he had to do was create a profitable movie franchise. Word on the street is that actor Fart Smith and star of Independence Day, Will Smith, and Michael Bay, director of the first Bad Boys with Smith, are teaming up for a new action film for Netflix called Fast and Loose. Smith recently made headlines for having the worst smelling gas in the Western Hemisphere. Director Barry Sonnenfeld claimed that on the original Men in Black, Will ripped a doozy that closed down the set until the stench subsided a week ago Tuesday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high up to the mid-70s. Staying warm on Friday, mostly sunny and a high in the low 80s, then cooler for the weekend. Upper 60s Saturday, upper 50s Sunday. Currently, it's 66.
Hi, I don't call radio stations very often.
Your calls are the best calls.
And keeping you inspired and informed is part of the Civic Media vision.
Thank you very much for broadcasting the Liz Cheney question and answer. I really appreciated that, hearing her voice. And for you to broadcast it like that was wonderful.
Listen to the Liz Cheney interview now on our website, civicmedia.us. Real news and great conversation.
Find it on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
People have always trusted a compass. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm with the Aaron Weber Group. And yes, I got a compass in my hand.
Aye, matey. A compass guides me to treasure.
I'm Magellan, and a compass got me around the world.
Aye, 'tis true.
Throughout history, a compass has been trusted to lead the way. Now, let the Aaron Weber Group and Compass, the number one real estate brokerage in the country, guide you home. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, at movetomadison.com.
Our real estate riches await.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
And we'll have a follow-up on the hurricane in Florida.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here in the state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous fall night. So wherever you are joining us from, whether it's on the stream or watching the radio or on the actual radio, old school, great to have you with us here at Nightlight. And we have a phone call. Sherry is calling us. So before we bring in our next guest, why don't we talk to Sherry? Sherry, how are you?
Good, Pete. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing very
Hi.
Well.
Listen, a long time ago, you mentioned a movie called Hachi.
The what?
Hachi. Long time ago, you mentioned a movie called Hachi.
Hachi.
Okay. Do you remember that?
I don't. I don't know if I know that movie.
And you said it was one of your favorite movies. And it finally came on.
How's the, how are you spelling that?
H-A-C-H-I.
Hachi.
Hachi.
A dog's tail?
Yeah. It, yeah.
I don't...
And you mentioned that a long time ago, about a year ago.
Wow.
And so you had said that it was one of your favorite movies. Now you don't remember.
Are you sure that
but
was
I
me?
I watched it.
Okay. So you watched it and you and liked it?
Oh, my God. I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and thought about you. And I thought, well, thanks a lot.
Well, I hope it was me that did recommend it. And I love that you cried during a G-rated movie, Sherry. That's fantastic.
It was just like, oh, my God, the best movie I think I've ever seen. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I love to hear that. I love to hear that. And you kind of answered our question tonight because it was name a movie that stayed with you. That doesn't necessarily have to mean it was a terrible, horrible, scary movie that stayed with you for different reasons. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. The horror movie would have been that Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte.
Oh,
when
I
was real little, I saw that. And okay. Oh, my God, my dad had to come pick me up from a sleepover. I couldn't even spend the night.
Oh, that's so excellent. Two great answers. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks for the call.
Oh, well, thank you for your show. Oh. I really love you guys.
We love that you listen. Thank you very much.
I
and have
do.
A great night. Okay. Bye-bye,
You're
Sherry.
Also, Pete. Bye-bye.
You know, I might have mentioned that. I'm aware of the movie, but I don't remember talking about it. So there you go.
What it looks like, you know, a classic dog movie that ends sad. You know what
came,
I mean?
Yeah, something came of it. That's fantastic. And thank you for the call, Sherry. All right, so we have a really interesting guest tonight. This is his first appearance on Nightlight, so I'm very excited to welcome this next gentleman. He is a former Milwaukee police officer, and now he writes books and does podcasts, and has a website called copsandwriters.com, and he consults on movies and TV shows that deal with police work and crime. And he joins us here tonight on Nightlight, Patrick O'Donnell. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show. What an honor it is.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You've got a lot of things you're working on here. It's pretty impressive.
I do, but first off, I want to give a shout-out to Don Brown. Who made this happen?
Yes, he introduced us. That's right.
Yes, he's probably one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I was on his show. I was supposed to be on there for a half an hour and it wound up being 2 hours. I was like helping.
Oh my gosh!
Take the next guest. It was a blast. We had so much fun.
Well, that's exciting because Don, I've been on Don's show too. Don actually reached out to me when I first started working here at Civic Media, and he says, "I know your sister Julie, who's my youngest sister. They worked at a fish market in Evanston, Illinois together."
That's right.
And yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh. That. So we had a nice talk about that. And he's been on this show before, too. Don's a great guy. So
he is.
I will second that. Thank you to Don. But it's great to have you here, Patrick. So before we jump into like your literary work and your website and all the things you got cooking, tell us a little bit about your time with the Milwaukee Police Department, if you would, and how you kind of came up through the ranks there.
Well, I started in January 16, 1995 was my first day in the academy when I raised my right hand and took the oath of office.
Yeah.
And the academy was 6 months long, and it was a paramilitary organization back then. They kind of eased up on that a little bit, and the training was very like boot camp-esque, but we didn't have to spend the night or anything like that. You were there for like 8 to 10 hours a day, And it was Monday through Friday. I'm just like, man, this is awesome. I was selling cars and bartending. I'm like, I thought I died and went to heaven. I'm like, wow, I'm working during the day and I have weekends off. And I'm like, you know, but you know, the instructors were like, don't get too used to that because that's not going to happen for right. too long. I'm like, all right, gotcha. So I went through the academy. I thought it was great. I had a very good experience, very professional. It was hard. You know, there's people screaming at you every now and then or whatever, but that's, you figure out later on why they're doing it. It's to inject pressure into you. You have to have stress because when you're on the street, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And when you have it in training, and that's what's missing in today's police world is, you know, you never know how you're going to react. And, you know, the first time may not be so great, but you get your reps in, you start getting used to being all like stressed out and stuff. And then you kind of find your groove.
Yeah.
And it works out a lot better. But I went from the academy to District 5, which is on the north side of Milwaukee, 4th and Locust. And I worked midnight to 8 as a police officer. I was there for about 6 years. Then I got transferred to District 3, which is over on 43rd and Valit. That's also on the north side. Then I promoted to sergeant. I became a boss. And I got shipped down to the south side, which was a totally different environment. But it was a lot of fun. I got a real good taste of the city. Then I wound up working some different like task forces. And I had a great career. I'm not going to lie. I was a sergeant. And, you know, and being a sergeant was, you know, I was a patrol sergeant. So I got to be on the street every night with my guys, you know, with all the coppers. I was in charge of them and I got to go to all the cool stuff. You know, if something was on fire, if there was a dead body, if there was an armed robbery or whatever, you know, I was there and I was in charge of it.
Interesting. It's fun. It's interesting that you said fun. Like I know that there's a lot of cops that love their job, but I still haven't heard them use the word fun. So I love that you used that and you seem to really enjoy your time in all aspects there.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was fun because, you know, I guess the main reason I thought it was fun was I'm doing stuff that nobody else gets to do.
Yeah.
I'm seeing stuff that like normal people will never see in their lifetime. And I'm being hit over the head with it on a regular basis. So yeah, it could be detrimental. There is PTSD and all that kind of, and that's very real.
Yeah.
But, and I don't want to make light of, you know, homicides or, you know, victims of crimes.
Right.
And that'll really change your perspective too, because I got to see victims. It's very popular in today's culture to, you know, this reform and that reform. And I'm not saying that's all bad. What I'm saying is whenever there's a show or like a tweet or whatever, you never see a victim of a crime. You know, it's like, well, you know what, this criminal did X, Y, and Z. He was brought up, you know, this way. He never had a chance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, you're designed to feel bad for criminals, and not all criminals are bad people at right. all. But there are some that I have, you know, encountered that are just nothing short of pure evil for what they've done.
Right.
But I've seen the faces and I've had to like deal with the aftermath. And that's something you never see, like normal people never get to see.
That must be really draining. I mean, I can't even imagine having to deal with that or witness that firsthand. There's a great line in the film. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Manhunter with Dennis Farina and William Peterson. It's it's the first Hannibal Lecter film and they remade it.
Oh, okay.
Manhunter. And
I do like Dennis Farina.
Yes. He was my little league coach in Chicago on the Northwest side when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah,
no kidding.
His son, Mike, and I were friends. So it was a real kick for me to see when he had made it to the big screen. That was really exciting.
Yeah.
But there's a great line in the film where I think it's Dennis Farina says to William Peterson, he says, "You sound like you feel sorry for this guy." He goes, "My heart bleeds for this kid as a child, but as an adult, someone needs to blow the sick bleep out of his socks." And that must be, I would imagine police officers have those feelings all the time. Like, and you can't, to solve a crime, you probably can't let yourself have feelings like that. You just have to stick to the evidence, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you're an investigator or a detective or even just a street cop, you have to follow the evidence. You know, you can't go into a scene with a preconceived notion.
Right.
Because that's going to cloud your judgment, et cetera. You have to go in there clean slate. And that's not easy to do. I mean, yeah, I mean, cops are people. They're human beings.
Right.
You know, we all have biases. We all have, you know, we tend to lean some way, which way or another or whatever. But that's where the professionalism comes in. And I was lucky. I mean, I would say 99% of the coppers and detectives and whoever else I was working with were just very good professionals who their hearts were in the right place and they wanted to do the right thing.
Sure.
They wanted to help people.
Absolutely. I would imagine that's why all of you go into that line of work. That's exciting. So where were you involved, Patrick? Did you play a part in a big case or get to the scene of something that started to be a big case? Anything memorable that you can talk about?
There's so many. I mean, I've been to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of homicides,
Jeez.
You know, fires, homicides, you know, homicide is, you know, that gets all the glitz and glamour because like that's the ultimate crime, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have so many stories when it comes to that, but most are not appropriate for your audience, most likely.
Yeah. What years were you there? Did you come up in the 80s or
70? 1995.
Okay.
I started and I retired January 16 of 2020. I did my 25 years.
Okay.
Then I popped smoke and I got out of Dodge.
Wow. I'm trying to think what the big crimes were. Were you ever involved in like a manhunt or anything or like, you know, stuff, the kind of stuff you see in movies or TV, that kind of stuff?
You know, that was almost like a regular thing. You know, It's like, okay, you'd grab a homicide. I remember I took my first dying declaration. I was in the 2900 block of North Richards. I'll never forget it. I'm a newer cop. I'm still on probation. And when you're on probation like that, you're kind of like the odd man out. Back then, it was regular partners. You had a partner that you worked with every night and you rode too deep. And for whatever reason, one guy's partner wasn't there, you know, like vacation or sick or whatever.
Sure.
They're like, oh, O'Donnell, you're with Jimmy tonight. And I'm like, all right. And we were the cover car for an armed robbery crew that was hitting parks. You know, this is like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're in an unmarked squad, but we're wearing, you know, our uniforms. And we had two guys out there in plain clothes that were posing as just people hanging out in the park. And sure enough, you know, somebody shoves a gun in one of our cops' faces, you know, blah, blah, blah. We got the dude, you know, everybody's fine. Nobody gets shot. Everything's good. So it's like, okay, well, we still have like 6 hours left in our shift or 5 hours. We'll drive around and, you know, take assignments and back people up. So we're driving around in the 2900 block of North Richards and pop, 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 pow. We hear all this like shooting and we're like, which is normal actually in certain neighborhoods in the city of Milwaukee and in other parts of the country as well. It's very normal. So we hear all this shooting, but you could hear like different volleys with different guns and we're like, that's weird. So we turn the corner and you know, you cut the headlights and you're creeping along in the car real slow. Each, you know, I got my gun out, my partner's got his gun out, and we don't know what we're driving into. And we look and there's like something on the road and it's like, that's a body. Okay.
Oh, man.
So we jump out and there's a guy on his back and I don't know how many holes he had in his torso. He was shot up. And, you know, of course you call for medical, some more squads came and we're making backyards and you're in pitch black. You have your flashlight. You don't know if the guy who just like shot this dude is around or not. So we make sure the scene is safe and we go back and he's laying there and he's like, am I going to die? And there was a cop from my academy class and she's like, no, you're going to make it. Hang in there. So I look at the paramedic that's working on him. He's out of sight of the victim. And he looks at me. He's like,
oh,
he does
man.
One of those. And I'm like, oh,
so hey, I look at Patrick, him, like, let's take a break right there. Let's pick up right there when we come back. We have to take a really short break, okay, buddy? All right, Patrick O'Donnell is here, former Milwaukee police officer. Now he's an author of several books. We'll get to those, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is Gordy with John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX. When you text into our show or any WMDX program, know that our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial. Package with less. Visit rocketindustrial.com and we'll be watching out for your text.
Looking for a roundup of today's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
The Todd Allbush Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community and look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown.
It's John Lennon's birthday today. And I know our current guest, Patrick O'Donnell, renowned author and former Milwaukee Police Department employee, former cop, if you will, is a big music fan, too. So we'll get to that, I hope, too, Patrick. I hope we'll have a little time to discuss music that we like. I know you're a big Tom Petty fan, too. So you were telling a story, and I'm sorry to cut you off. I hate when I have to do that, but we have such hard breaks here. If I don't, if I don't go to break, we just get cut off. So I apologize for that, because that story was... I don't want to say getting good. It was horrifying. But you said a paramedic said the guy was not going to make it. And then we had to go to break. So please continue.
Yeah. So, you know, I looked at him. I looked at the paramedic and I'm like, well, I could see what's going on. And, you know, he was, as we would say, he was circling the drain. And so I looked at him and I said, you're not going to make it. You're going to die. And as I'm this, it almost felt like an out of body experience. I'm like, it goes against all of your grain as a human. Yeah, but this could be like really compelling evidence to get the person who killed this guy. So you have to do it. So I'm just like, hey, dude, you're going to die. Who killed you?
Wow.
And right away, F you, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you don't understand. You're taking the elevator up or down, depending, you know, right. I don't know which direction you're going, brother, but you ain't going to be around much longer.
Wow.
And then finally, he's like, Scooby-Doo. And he rolled his eyes and he died.
What?
Yep. So the next, I didn't get done with work that night till about 10 p.m. the next day. Because we were hunting for Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo was one of the local drug dealers. That was his name. What happened was there was a bar called Larry's Lounge. It's not there anymore. That was like a block away. And this drug dealer would carry 2 9mm. He had 2 shoulder holsters, so he had a 9mm under each armpit. And this poor schmuck, who really didn't do anything except he bumped into this drug dealer's girlfriend on the dance floor.
They had words,
and then it became a running. He didn't have a gun, you know. He's running away from dude that had 2 guns. So Scooby unloaded 2 pistols into this guy as they were running down an alley. And the victim made it out to the street And this was like a cold Wisconsin night and it was raining. And the steam was literally coming out of like the bullet holes.
Wow.
And I'm just like, again, you know, it's like, this is just such an odd thing. Human beings shouldn't have to see this kind of stuff or deal with this kind of stuff.
Right.
Obviously, you know, nobody should be a victim of that kind of thing. And we wholeheartedly worked until the trail went cold. And I don't know how many different houses we made. I always had the shotgun. You know, I, you're room clearing. You're going through every room. You don't know if Scooby or one of his compatriots is waiting for you. He already shot and killed somebody not too long ago. He's not afraid to shoot and kill somebody else.
You know what I'm thinking of as you're saying this, Patrick, when I was a kid, I remember the officers used to come to the public schools or the Catholic schools, whatever, and talk about stranger danger. And they would talk about how, and you'd even hear this on TV too, how rare it was for police to draw their guns at one point. is that completely gone off the radar now? Or is this just a regular thing where you guys, given the danger you're in, are you always drawing them? Is it still rare? Does it happen? What's that situation like?
Action beats reaction every day of the week. So if you, I mean, obviously you just don't have your gun out at everywhere you go and everything that sure. you do. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, it's like, okay, now I worked in arguably one of the most violent neighborhoods in the city, i.e. the country, you know, at night. And sometimes I was by myself, you know, I had a regular partner, but you know, what if one of her kids was sick? What if, you know, she's on vacation or whatever, right. If there isn't enough bodies, there's not enough bodies. And if I'm stopping somebody, I'm walking up to something, I have no idea what it is.
Right.
Is my hand on my gun? Oh, hell yeah. You know, and if I think there, if I have some reason to believe that there's danger, yeah, Mr. Glock was coming out, you know, but that doesn't mean you're like pointing your gun at everybody for everything.
Right.
But like what I was saying before, you know, being around live gunfire is not unusual in the city of Milwaukee in certain neighborhoods. And that's day and night now. Same thing in Chicago, same thing, you know, big city USA, that's not uncommon.
Wow. So, man, I don't even know. So what was the most dangerous neighborhood, would you say, in Milwaukee that you worked?
Boy, it moved around. You know, I worked District 5, which was at 4th and Locust. And that area was considered probably the most dangerous. The next would be 34th and Fond du Lac, District 7. District 3, 43rd and Valete. You know, the north side of Milwaukee was considered the most violent, but then it started oozing south. And a lot of, you know, we call it the crack wars back in the 90s. You know, that's when things got really, really out of hand.
Okay.
And the homicide rates were just sky high all around the country, actually.
All right. So, and, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's homicide rates, violent crime just skyrocketed. And then the north side and the south side almost became equally bad.
All right, let's pick it up. We sort of set the table here. We've given a little bit of your background. You're writing books now, and I can totally see where you get your inspiration and the stories you've experienced, why you'd want to put pen to paper, so to speak. So we'll talk to Patrick more about his books. And I want to talk to you about your consulting business with movies or TV when you consult with that fascinates me, too. So Patrick O'Donnell is my guest. He's a former Milwaukee police officer, and he is also an author and a podcaster. And he created the site copsandwriters.com. He's here tonight on Nightlight, and we'll talk more about his books when we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Spread our wings and fly. Don't let another day go by, my love. It'll be just like starting
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Alexander Vindman, who played a big role in Donald Trump's first impeachment trial. Paul Noonan from Acme Packing Company, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.